Now that I've got control of this West Star satellite, I will rule the airwaves.
All right, so this do you want to make a run through or just a test? One of many. The remix
Let's
version.
Let's check it out. See if this is it.
Okay. Anyway, Trevor first appeared in the local underground scene at the Helen Pitt Gallery, January 1979, as a member of the Brain Eaters, a three-piece combo. Originally planned as a one-night affair, the Brain Eaters decided to continue due to an overwhelming response, and within a year produced an eight-song flexi-disc. Mixed with sophisticated use of drama and technology, this is a quote, Trevor has maybe the best new singing voice that I've heard in a long time. Plus an energetically hyperkinetic stage presence. Taken from the George Strait, that was. Trevor left the group in 1981 to pursue a more singular direction in the field of music and video presentation. So Trevor, why? Tell me why. Why basically did you leave the group at that time?
It was a woman. A woman came into my life, just sort of tore me away from the boys' club.
You mean it got to the point that it was sort of like a boys' club? Is that what
yes,
it is?
Yes, quite.
The group, the boys' club.
Rather incestuous, I thought.
The scene together, nights out.
Yeah, bunch of dandelions.
Too much leather.
Yeah. Kind of cheap, you know?
I know what you mean, yeah. But, I was looking for something else in that question. something a little more.
Something more in depth,
something
perhaps.
Something more in depth, perhaps.
Quite. Well, let's see. We could talk about tape I just produced.
Your tape?
Were you going to get to that?
Yeah, I was going to get to that, yeah, but I wanted to start with a little more filler. I mean, you are the man instantly on the scene, right? Where does this guy come from? Who is he? And does anybody really care? So, basically...
Well, my PR sheet there has...
I read your PR there, yeah. But I wanted to get a little more than PR, right? People out there, they want to hear it. Uh-huh. They want to know the nitty-gritty, the dirt, the down, the National Enquirer potential.
Right.
What is
so,
it? Tell us.
Well, what is the nature of your question?
No, it's okay. I'll go on the next one. So there you were on the street. You could go any direction. I mean, you could have done whatever you wanted. You were your own man, your own thing.
I mean,
did you switch it?
Well, essentially, I turned. See, the only place I could go.
Inward,
right? Yes.
Yeah, I knew it.
What was next?
Well, it seems as though you wanted to clear your name. It's something about Corleone's.
Yes, that's right. Jeez, we had this so well rehearsed.
Rehearsed? What are you talking about?
That's right, we didn't want our audience to know this is all taped.
Of course.
Okay. Thanks, Rob.
No problem.
That's right, the Brain Eaters. Well, my recollections of the Brain Eaters are quite vague. In fact, all I remember of the time is it was kind of horrific in terms of animosity towards one another. And I felt that I was suffering enough. Wanted to sort of clean up my image, you know, get the dye out of my hair.
Oh, yeah. What color was it?
Bleach blonde.
Well, it still is.
Of course. No. Now it's more tinted down. I'm getting a little bit older. I'm 25.
Northern California now.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
I know it.
Well, at least I've identified with the West Coast.
That's true. Yeah, I get it.
And anyway, I think as far as the Brain is concerned, in terms of music, I think I just maybe had a different kind of appetite.
Different kind of appetite.
Yes.
I know what you mean. So that was it. That was the song there, Trevor. The first thing you did, basically, after, except for maybe Memories, but the first serious thing that you put out, and you did it, but I understand, all on your own? Like, it was all you, your appetite, basically.
Yeah, I did that in a house that was about to be renovated in the East End, and I felt it was sort of actually the first step of my own, away from, you know, the group theory, basically.
Group theory.
And as far as appetite's concerned, it's really, you know, it's quite half-baked. Only in the sense of a musical arrangement. The content I was happy with, but technically, I wanted to expand by introducing other people, you know?
New influences, new elements, whatnot.
Yeah, you know, talent and input into the overall scheme of things.
Well, you found that you were limited by your own resources in the fact that you needed someone else, like, to say more experience, let's say.
Yeah, well, essentially I trusted my own ideas, but
You needed help.
Yeah, I did.
And where'd you
quite
find it?
Help's a hard thing to No. Not from a woman again.
Sure. Why lie?
No, actually, there has been one woman in this music that is, well, she's quite influential in terms of writing.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Inez.
Mm-hmm.
But she had quite a profound effect on my songwriting ability.
Yeah, there's one song I understand. Libido Love.
Yeah.
Is a reference to some...
It's actually a student
friend.
She went to school with, doing media research.
Right.
And, this girl had a room full of stuffed animals and whatnot, and she was so picture-perfect to Inez, who is picture-perfect herself, but in a different way. Much stronger sense, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular woman's name was Vanessa. And her room, her bedroom, was fit the criteria perfectly for this song.
How does it relate to the content of the song and whatnot?
Well, it's basic ego love, self love, and the part I play is this sort of masculine element that's going to replace all her childish sort of fixations
mm-hmm.
on plants and animals and things like that.
Right, like the 10 stuffed monkeys.
Exactly. And I present myself as her savior, in a sense.
Your savior?
Yeah,
that's a nice position to present yourself in.
But in another way, it's like having a libido, you know. You know.
What's a good hook?
Hook?
I think everything should have a good hook. Well, that's the only way you're going to get any attention is by your hook. Obviously, all your songs are written with definite hooks.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. You didn't deny that angle.
No, but I didn't start out necessarily with the hooks. I started out really mundane.
Yeah, boring. I know. I heard them.
Yeah. A lot of those previous recordings that I've made, virtually untouchable.
Well, we're going to be playing them. Don't worry.
Okay, well,
the past is always worth bringing up.
Yeah, to some degree.
Yeah, especially when it's dirty.
Especially when it's, it's quite illustrious.
Hardly.
No, I don't really think I have a lot of experience, so I like to refrain from any kind of advice or, you know, like advice music. Telling
advice.
People what they should do.
Oh, you don't want to be the guy saying the way things are.
Yeah, that's
this is the way it is.
I don't want to play God. I think
fight
this is just
rights.
An average occupation like anything else. You
quite
know,
often
done by average people who aren't special at all.
That's good.
Well,
you're not much of an egotist. I'm glad to hear it because, you know, people always get that impression about rock stars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pop stars, whatever you feel like being called.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever
yeah,
I call
this,
you.
Nasty comment. It's kind of notorious, the prestige one gets. But it always has been. I mean, because that's how cheap music is. I mean, even the greatest composers have suffered probably the most because of how untangible it was.
Exactly.
I mean, just think how many compositions stayed in some of the greatest composers' minds and just never made it to the opera house, so to speak.
That must be what's happening with you then.
Well, I'm far from opera, although I have to.
No, I mean like holding your good songs in your head.
Well, no, I should say that writing songs is I think it's close to poetry, only in an occupational sense. I wouldn't say intellectually. I think lyric writing is basically a more redundant form of poetry.
People don't get the points.
Well, there's not the subtlety in, you know, poetry as there is in music. Music always is crashing, blaring, sending out its own message.
People listen to the beat more than they do to the message in the first place.
Especially when you're... delicate balance.
No, but you're in the pop field and...
I realize a lot of my stuff is trash.
No,
it's... You know. So, I'm jumping and I bet you're calling for my friends. Learn to knock them down cause I can.
Well, I think another thing in mentioning is that I don't really think anyone's concerned what I think about anything. That's how insignificant I see my position. I think that I'm appealing basically to people who are escaping for a night or into some kind of fantasy world. I don't exactly supply that in real life. But my work seems to take that hold on people.
The staggering truth is so sober as to make anyone sick.
Mm-hmm. I said that once.
Yeah. I know, I read it.
Yeah?
The thing is, what's up in the future here? As people who are listening to this obviously know of the popularity, the attention you received through your various songs played.
Mm-hmm.
And they hung in there for a while, which is quite something for a local band. Especially, you know, a lot of local bands from Vancouver there.
Well, if you listen to the music, you immediately get it's just simple rock. That's all it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's no use hiding that fact. So I can't really see it being all that special, maybe just a little more mysterious than most because of the lack of publicity, basically. I mean, I've sort of stuck to my guns that way. I'm not one to hang up my dirty laundry all the time.
But now you've done this, though, this interview.
Yeah, and I admit it's a little dirty, but I think I can live with it.
If there's a wind, you might smell it.
Yeah, I try not to be too judgmental or, you know, pass qualitative things on my being.
Good.
But we
wouldn't want that.
I think I could consider it my early stage. I think I'm going to go through a lot of those.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
Yeah, well, with critics like you around, Rob. pushing me on and criticizing about the right thing so I can...
I've got big boots.
I'm not afraid to listen, but I do find that I have to learn things the hard way. I've got a pretty sound history in music and hasn't done me an ounce of good, really. Or doesn't show, anyway.
You have to unlearn a lot of it.
Unlearn, relearn, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it out, bring it back in.
Yeah, spew it out.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Like a cat.
Put it in a big pot and mix it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I understand you're doing a gig at the Lorient Express Cafe in the next very short while.
Yeah.
Saturday the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the angle here is Trev Jones again by himself. Now, Trev Jones singing over top of his music, which is recorded, and there's a band somewhere in there, and aren't you working on it? Don't they want?
The band is there.
The band is there. I mean, what's happening? I hear the words of some name.
But of course, if you know the Lorient, it's a very small place and really
hasn't housed
any gigs, so to speak, and it never could because it's just not big enough. But it's very nice and intimate.
But the point is that you keep doing things without a band. Like, don't you think if you continue to go live solo, people are going to just go, fuck, I've heard this.
Well, I push behind the scenes more than I do on the surface because all my work is devoted to getting the band together to play live, but I also demand a certain amount of, well, original excellence from each of the members.
Are you getting that?
I'm getting it now, yeah. When it comes, it'll splash big.
Why, is it heavy?
No, it's not heavy. If anything, I would think it's slightly ambiguous, but with a lot of familiar hooks, I should say. But I'm not familiar in a conventional sense. They're new. They're all new. They're all original. It's just maybe you've heard them before, but you're just not sure where. You're always on that edge of knowing exactly what the influence is, but you'll never guess it.
Do you have any influences?
Sometimes people do surprise me, though.
Do you have any influences?
I do.
Who were they, like Jimi Hendrix?
No, he was before my time. I like to pick contemporary artists, meaning live ones.
Wayne Newton?
No. Actually, I think that I'm going to try to retain that part of myself as part of the mystique, exactly who the influences are. But I wish...
The mystique, come on.
Mystique. Well, actually...
You're creating mystique by supposing there's one.
That's it. I mean, I really could have no mentors, although I wish I did have one. You know, the more I get to know about someone's personal life, and I may appreciate their work to a phenomenal degree. I mean, I could wake up in the middle of the night with a tune buzzing in my head. It doesn't matter any time of the day. But,
well, it depends on what station your clock radio's on.
Yeah, well...
You might wake up with a Mantovani hit or a Loverboy song.
Yeah, well...
Who knows what next Trev Jones song
okay,
would be.
Okay, I've grown up around jazz. And the whole 60s thing was too early for me. So I just sort of skipped right over that and went into the Ozones of no music at all.
Ozark Mountain.
Yeah, I traveled a lot and really didn't think about it at all. Like, thought that it was the furthest thing away from me, even though I've been surrounded by it for so long. And then one day it just clicked that that's what I would have to do. Like we were talking about earlier, throwing things out and bringing them back in. Well, I threw myself out this time. I went to the Caribbean and looked around and got bored and decided I had to come back to Vancouver and really set my teeth into it and try not to be too heavily influenced by, you know, people I admired even. In fact, they were the most dangerous, trying to emulate someone I wasn't. And that's what I found out most of my contemporaries, in Vancouver at least, have tried to do and failed miserably.
What, copy someone else?
Yeah, exactly. Or just
for
be
instance.
So overly influenced by someone they really admired and yet maybe at the same time would hate.
Oh, of course. You always hate your admirers.
Yeah, you just hate anyone who's better than you.
Especially if you're trying to emulate them.
And because of those strong feelings, you very well become just like... I noticed that's been like a plague around this part of the world. You may have noticed that most bands lack a lot of real... maybe it's just charisma or style or class.
It's personality.
It could be that.
Individuality.
What someone is off stage and on.
Two different things.
Two different things.
Go on stage and
two
act out your little fantasy,
things, you know?
Which is exactly
just
what
like
you're
the
doing,
little girl
Trevor.
With gray eyes.
Hey,
you know?
Hear
she
what I'm saying?
She finds out and... Huh?
Hear what I'm saying?
No, I'm not even listening to you. What did you say? By nature, I think I'm more of an actor than a musician. But in more practical, economic terms, I'm ultimately an artisan. Of course, anything sells if you do it enough, and I choose not to judge my work in such base, qualitative terms. If anything, I'm aiming at the fusion of at least three mediums, that is, image, sound, and some kind of direction, I hope. Usually I can strictly work with the first two, and the third arrives out of this process. But sometimes this doesn't work, and then I have to try from the other side. In other words, start with a concept and apply that to the physical end of things, and see what comes up that way. At any rate, I do not consider a piece of work finished until I have exhausted every opportunity to make it better without becoming gaudy. Try again.
No, that's fine.
You think so?
Yeah, I think you're gaudy enough as it is.
Okay. And what else should I say about my work?
Well, it's not a matter of what you say, it's a matter of what I want you to say.
Right, what I'm aiming at.
Yes.
Okay, again, I try to bring everything full circle. Through some hidden meaning or trapdoor idea, something in the background that comes up slowly. I like to incur a sense of pathos or darker side of existence. And at the same time, try not to inject reason that becomes...
And still make a good dance hit.
That's it. I want something that's, you know, just
You're
not,
unhappy, but you still want to dance.
I don't want everything just to be known to myself. I'd like to...
You want to share it.
Yeah, I'd like to work with, you know, even other people's concepts, things like that. But I am impartial, of course.
You mean steal ideas?
Well, we're all thieves in this business.
How true.
But just to do a bit of comparative work, I think that music is it's unlike the more tangible mediums like sculpting and painting, because it demands a lot on the speaking self. What you say makes or breaks you. And either way, what you say may not come to any importance anyway.
It's quite possible. Quite.
Now, I could go into my history.
Well, that's really redundant at this point. I don't think anybody really cares.
That's true. That's true.
All we want to know is right now a little bit of gossip. Something people can use against
something tangible somebody. Again.
You know how people always want to put down their stars, their favorites. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the best way to judge your favorite is to just listen to what he has to say.
So why don't you say something for them to eat up? Give him a good line.
Give them a good line.
They're waiting. Well, they're listening and waiting. What does Trev Jones want out of life? Is that a difficult question? A bit too heavy so early in the interview?
Well, more than what the stage bully will ever get out of life.
How do you figure that?
Well, just get the limelight without the...
Hey?
Without getting down low where the money is. Like Bing said.
Is that what Bing said?
Ba 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 boom.
Back when. You should take it from Bing, though. I mean, look where he is now.
Bing said it to Bali.
Oh, that's true. Speaking of which. Anyway, like I said,
Okay.
You tried to sell the Anne?
Sell the Anne. So, yeah, right. Let's get back to the script.
No, look, people out there, I mean, they want to know, right? I mean, they have a right. They're the public. You have to feed them all the manure. I mean, the information. They've got to know whatever it is that we're going to tell them.
Well,
and then they'll understand.
You know what I'm feeling right now?
Uh-oh.
I'm feeling like my shoes are too tight.
Is that the name of your new song?
Actually, it comes quite close.
Oh, yeah. My shoes are too tight.
Yeah. And my feet do get cold.
My feet do get cold. I don't even heard that one. Is it working up this way up on the charts yet, or what?
Virtually unheard of, and I'm kind of glad, I must say. Didn't work out as I planned.
Well, we'll hold that one back. You know.
I think we should just skip it altogether.
I think so, yeah. Erase the tape, throw it out, basically. But one thing that seems to be happening here, too. What do you think of all this popularity? Or not popularity. I mean, the attention possibly you're getting here, even on this radio station, the one that you're listening to right now, you did actually get up there to be the number one single. I mean, it didn't take that much payola, did it?
Yeah, but look where I am now, number four.
This number four, yeah. 1 week, you're down, forget it. Didn't pay his bill.
See you later.
You're out. Goodbye.
We'll call you.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, we'll have to work our way into something else here, such as, anyway, there's another, the one last song that we haven't played, I mean, the one last song that we weren't going to fit into the tape yet was, I guess, would probably be one of the best ones, the hottest ones, Yucky No No, yeah. You know, tell us a little bit about that one. It's a little confusing, the lyrics on that one. My Icky Yaya. Yeah. Resists the dada
versus
the dada. I didn't know you were, you know, a dadaist or against dada or what. Come on, tell us.
Well,
know.
I didn't really mean it that way.
Let me get the phone. You just keep talking. Right?
That's right. I didn't mean it that way. Actually.
Yes.
Oh no, yes. I'm confused.
Oh no, is it you?
What's going on here?
Oh no.
What's going on here? Anyway, we'll get back to whatever the hell we were talking about at one point earlier.
In the
big Trev Jones, quasi Trev Jones interview, you're listening to right now. If well, we are anyway. what we want to do here, Trev, is wrap up the whole basis of the foundation of the philosophy of life of this one man who calls himself Quasi Trevor Jones.
Did I call myself that?
Well, somebody called you that. I don't know if you did or not. You weren't around when we named you that. But anyway, the one thing we want to know, what is Ikki Yaya?
Ikki Yaya?
Yeah, what the hell? Where'd you get a name like that? God.
Ikki is the last woman.
Well, I think that's an aspiration to do the best at what you're doing. Now, I see that it's just rock and roll. So I think, well, even though I might hate the entire industry, even though it's just all for naught, I can still, you know, I can still get up the Corleones and get them up to par, you know?
They're back into it again.
Yeah, there I go.
Whoosh! Here come the Corleones.
Now, I think the name of our band will be Zip Bang.
No, you can't be serious. That sounds like a Ravillo's hit.
Well, then there's Beep Beep Yeah.
That sounds even worse.
How about Ikki Yaya?
Not as a name of a band, no.
No, it's the name of a song.
Yeah, I've heard it, yeah. I think. Oh, wait, how's it go? Ikki Yaya, Ikki Yaya, Ikki Yaya.
Yeah.
But anyway, like I was saying.
So I think we're going to run out of tape soon.
Oh, soon, but we'll keep going because we need lots of filler.
Okay,
in
fire
between
away.
My songs.
I mean, what more can I say?
Are you an orphan?
Orphan. Let's see, my mother and father met in the theater when Granville was still live theater shows. She was doing costumes and he was an actor. And,
so you are an orphan?
Yes, very much an orphan of the theater. It's true. Theater's in my blood. But the business, like any other, including the one I'm in, is equally appalling. I'm not very much inspired by the way things have gone. And the way things have gone is one basic rudiment, just to be redundant.
Thanks.
One rudiment I've found in the whole industry of theater, just to be a offside critic, is that everything depends on the writers. And I don't think that the age is able to produce it right now. I don't think there's enough guts right now.
Corleone.
For good writing. And good writing about something that means something to you.
Well, the thing, and let's put this in perspective, you're saying that you write something that's
worth
reading?
I try to write, but I certainly don't consider it worth reading. In fact,
when
anyone does
even
get
knowing.
A chance, I cringe.
No, but I mean, is it worth even understanding the lyrics of your songs?
No,
I mean,
it's not.
Are they
it's
pertinent,
not.
Or are they just,
no.
I love
and
my
in
baby?
In fact, what I have to watch out for most in my singing is that I don't become so self-mocking, so self-effacing.
Well, isn't that what stage bully's all about?
Yeah, exactly. But, he is the stage bully.
So are you.